Today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about our winter seasons, but we are going to be focusing on the winter seasons that we create. Sometimes we're just in winter seasons just because of circumstances in our lives, but sometimes we put ourselves in these places because of sin, because of doubt, and because of busyness. And so we're going to talk about what causes these situations, what triggers these situations, and then also some hope, some glimmers of truth in these situations that can hopefully help you to get out of them. So we're going to talk about how to recognize these things and then also give you some tools in your tool belt to get out of these situations. Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me. I am Casey Fletcher, and I am so excited for you to be back today. This is episode 26 of the podcast of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. And so we are going to be talking today about winter seasons. We started this series last week, and so we're continuing today our series on winter seasons. And we're going to focus specifically on winter seasons that we create. We're going to focus on emotional spiraling and how to stop that spiral and get ourselves out of these seasons. Just a couple announcements before we get started. If you would like to get a copy of your winter survival guide, you can find that link in the show notes. It contains a bucket list for winter, some affirmations for winter seasons, and then also a place where you can document your glimmers, which we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. You can also visit the shop at amorebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop to get some more resources, including our Wilderness Wandering Guide. This is a 7-day Bible study that talks about winter seasons or wilderness seasons, and some lessons that we can learn to help us get through these times. I remember one day whenever I was walking through my campus, I went to a big state school, and so it was about a mile to get from one end of the campus to the other. So if you had a class, we had about 20 minutes in between class, and so you'd have to speed walk to get from one end to the other. And I remember that time just before Thanksgiving break, where you had the pressure of exams and the pressure of everything going on all at that time. Wow, I was also, my senior year, I was dealing with some issues with my roommates. And so I remember walking through this kind of chilly, you know, it was super, super cold campus where the leaves were swirling around and it was windy. I had my headphones in, and all I could keep thinking about in my mind was everything that I had to do and all the issues that I was having with people. And I just felt myself spiraling down, this emotional spiral, where I started thinking about something and then automatically my mind went to the worst case scenario. But more than just that one issue, I had all these other things going on in my life with exams and things like that. And so my mind just kept swirling and swirling and swirling. And I felt like those leaves that I saw that were kicking up and swirling around off in the distance. And I felt like my heart was the same as those leaves, where I was in turmoil. I was in chaos. And I remember trying to walk through this. And you know, sometimes whenever you are busy, you're, you know, speed walking with your headphones in, you give off this vibe as being, you know, don't touch me, I'm unapproachable. And I remember I was in the midst of all of these thoughts, and I heard a familiar voice call out, and they say, Casey, stop, wait. And I turned around, and it was my friend, and she had a smiling face, and she was asking me how things were going. And by the end of the conversation, I'd said, it was just so good to see you, so good to talk to you. And she looked at me and she said, I could tell that something was up because you just didn't look like yourself. And I think the thing is, as I think about the situation, I think this shows so much of how we get into this place of turmoil, this place of winter seasons in our life, and we spiral down. We experience this emotional spiraling. But in that moment with my friends, I had this stopping of the spiral because she reached out to me. She smiled. She asked me how I was doing. And we just talked. We broke the spiral in my life because she interrupted it. What we're going to talk about today is some tools for you to stop your emotional spiraling. And as we think about this, we're going to be thinking about this, especially in the context of winter seasons that we are responsible for, winter seasons that we cause. Now, here's why this is important. I think it is very, very necessary to say. Winter seasons, we talked about this in the last episode, are just this time of distance that we feel in our relationship with God. Generally, there are times that we experience maybe some depression, some sadness, some listlessness, some lack of purpose. We just feel kind of aimless. So we can think about the analogy in our life where these seasons are like, you know, the barren winter. We have sometimes where we're hopeful in spring of all the plans that we have going on. Sometimes where we're really fruitful. Sometimes where we're, you know, reaping the harvest. But winter seasons, we don't really see all of that fruit. Again, it's barren. And I think in our lives, it's that time where we feel kind of a lack of connection, lack of energy. We just feel kind of depressed. And in the last episode, we talked about some things that we needed to do. And one of the main things that we took away from that was we need to cling to the truth. That is the thing that will help us to prepare for those winter seasons. We can store up truth, just like plants store up nutrients. And then we also need to cling to truth during the winter seasons, cling to those basics of the faith. Now, as we think about this, I think it's important to understand that winter seasons can be caused by different things. So winter seasons can be caused by, you know, just loss and sadness. We live in a broken world. And so we're going to experience times where things are difficult. And we experience times where we feel pain, we feel loss for no fault of our own. We can just look at the story of Job, where we can see that suffering is going to happen. And suffering is not tied necessarily to the actions that you do. Jesus wandered in the wilderness. Everybody goes through these times of wilderness wanderings, these times of winter seasons. It's just a fact of life. But that being said, I think you would be amiss if you left the conversation on winter seasons or wilderness seasons and just say that, oh, they happen through no responsibility of ourselves. Because sometimes I think we put ourselves in these winter seasons. We put ourselves in the wilderness. If you think about the Israelites were led by God to go to the wilderness and they stayed there for 2 years and they were instructed by God. But then they were supposed to leave the wilderness, but they put themselves in a position where they had to stay in the wilderness because of their unbelief. You can think about David. David was in the wilderness whenever he was being pursued by Saul. And that was no fault of his own. That was just what was going to happen because of what other people were doing, because Saul was being that way to him. But later on, David went through another winter season, another wilderness season in his life after his sin with Bathsheba. That was something that he did cause. He caused his pain and suffering because of his sin. So as we look at our winter seasons, yes, we don't always cause them. And there are definitely times where we just experience brokenness, sadness, loss, just because that's the way life is. But there are certain situations where we do cause our wilderness seasons. And so I think it's important in this situation that we get the tools that we need to stop the spiral down. And we'll talk about what I mean by that in just a second. But where we stop the spiral down into this season, and we figure out how to stop the spiral and turn back to God. Because we don't have to experience hitting rock bottom in these winter seasons if we can recognize when we're getting there. I think a good example of this, you know, is any kind of time where you're experiencing some kind of temptations and you know that there's things that go on in your brain before you act on those temptations. So what you want to do is you want to stop it before it happens. So either get yourself out of that situation, change the pattern of your thoughts so that you can change what the outcome could be. But you know that if you just let yourself get into that temptation, you may end up in a completely different place than what you want to be. And so today we are going to be focusing on three different types of winter seasons that we cause ourselves because of what we're doing. And a lot of times this is just tied to disobedience. And then we're going to think about what causes these situations, so the triggers, and then we're going to look at something called glimmers, how we can look for hope and for life-giving things in these seasons and stop the spiral, pull ourselves out of these winter seasons. As we go through this, there, like I said, I think one important caveat is what I've already said, that sometimes you're in a winter season. It was nothing that you did. It's not your fault. It's just the brokenness of the world. But that being said, I think it's important to address the winter seasons that we cause ourselves. I think another caveat and the assumption that I'm making, and we'll talk about this again in just a minute, is that whenever I talk about winter seasons that we cause, sometimes your life, your circumstances may look pretty great. You might be making more money because of your winter season and some of the behaviors that you're doing. You might be falling in love with somebody because you're of the sin that you're doing. But even if that's the case, I think eventually it will end up in a winter season. So the beginning of the winter season, whenever you're in whatever it is, whether it's sin or doubt or busyness, you might think, oh, my life is looking up. But I think without God, we're always going to end up in a situation that is not where we want to be. And so we will end up in a winter season, even if people on the outside looking in would say, oh, her life is great because of all the things going on. Your heart will not be great if you remove God. You will not feel peace. You will not feel freedom. And ultimately, you will end up being barren, a wasteland, if you continue down this path. And so this is why it's so important to recognize that I do believe that there's things that we can do to stop ourselves from being in this winter season that we cause. So what are some of these winter seasons that we cause ourselves? Well, I've narrowed it down to three, and you might include some other ones on this list. You just have to let me know. You can let me know in the comments, or you can go visit the blog post and let me know in the comments there. But some of the winter seasons that I think we can cause ourselves are seasons of sin, seasons of doubt, and seasons of busyness. So like I said, some things happen because we can't control, but in the case of sin, doubt, and busyness, we do control those things. And a lot of times we choose those things. I think anything that we choose and we prioritize over our relationship with God is going to obviously lead into a eroding of that relationship with God. And like I said before, I think anytime that we allow these things to erode our relationship with God, we will ultimately end up in a winter season of faith, but also a winter season of life, because we're going to lose out on the purpose and the peace that we find whenever we have a good relationship with God. And really, this comes down to the fact that whenever we do this, we are choosing an idol over God. Whenever we prioritize anything else, we are choosing an idol over God. And we want to make sure that we do not do that. Whenever we do this, we will experience some emotional spiraling. So again, things might at first look okay, look good, but eventually we are going to start experiencing some turmoil in our lives. And eventually we will be like that picture of leaves I was talking about, where, you know, those times where you kind of see almost like a little twister of leaves in the middle of fall, whenever the seasons are changing. I feel like that's what our hearts look like. We begin heading down a path towards unrighteousness, a path of foolishness, a path without God. I believe winter seasons in our lives, they directly relate to what our relationship with God looks like. So if our relationship with God is good, then ultimately we will end up having a fruitful life, a life of joy. But our winter seasons, whenever we remove ourselves from God, then we will ultimately experience this pain and this suffering and this lack of peace. Again, there are times where, you know, if you look at that life, I've been talking about Elizabeth Elliot a lot, she went through suffering. And there were times of, you know, depression that she faced. But she clung to God through that suffering, and she was able to be taken out of that because she trusted in God. So even though she still experienced the suffering, she was able to have joy and hope ultimately because she knew who she was trusting in. I think we can experience winter seasons whenever we are, you know, in a good place in our relationship with God, but I think we will always experience winter seasons whenever we remove our relationship with God. And there's a difference there. Again, you may have a good relationship and you might still experience some pain and brokenness, but you will always face a winter season if you remove yourself from God. If we choose an idol over God, it's almost like that idea of like a riptide, where if you're floating out in the ocean and then you close your eyes, you're just enjoying it, and then you open your eyes and you realize, oh my goodness, the current has taken me so far away from where I was. I could see, maybe your family, your possessions off as like a little pinprick in the distance. And then you have veered so far off course, you have to get out of that current first. And then you have to make your way all the way back to where your stuff is. I think that's the thing. Whenever we are in winter seasons that we cause, we end up veering so far off the path. And then just getting out of the current, out of that pattern of unbelief or disobedience, will take so much effort. And this is really why I think winter seasons that we cause ourselves are different and much more difficult to get out of than winter seasons just caused by the suffering of the world. In the case of Elizabeth Elliot, she experienced a tragic life-altering thing whenever her husband died, but she was able to cling to God through that, and she was able to cling to the truth. And because of that, she was able to move on and ultimately use that to help further her message and continue working for the good of the kingdom. But if you look at winter seasons that we cause ourselves, we're starting at a different point. If you are dealing with sin or doubt or busyness, you've already said, you know what? I don't really prioritize truth. I don't really care about that truth. And so because of that, you're going to have to work to get out of that season. The first thing you have to do is you have to remind yourself why truth, why God is important. You have to put him back on his throne. And that takes a whole lot of work. And so that's why winter seasons that we cause ourselves, they could be so much more difficult to overcome and work through, because the first thing we have to do is we have to get rid of our pride and put God back in his proper place in our lives. And again, winter seasons that are caused by suffering and different things like that, they normally, you already have God in the right place. And so you're just able to lean on him during that time of suffering. It can make these seasons more difficult, but again, any kind of winter season can still be painful, but it's much more difficult to weather a season that we cause ourselves well than it is if you are just experiencing loss or pain or sadness because of grief. In these seasons, we follow a similar pattern. And this pattern is what I'm going to call emotional spiraling. This is something that is a term that I'm borrowing from psychology. So basically, we've probably all felt this at some point, where you have this kind of downward spiral. So basically, if you think about, a vortex or any kind of thing, and if you're watching a drain and you have the vortex and it starts swirling, at first it looks slow. And then as you get closer to the bottom and you kind of circle the drain, you see that it starts to spin faster and there's more force and you get to the bottom a lot quicker. And I think that's the thing with emotional spiraling. That's what we do. We follow this pattern where, maybe at the very beginning, we're in a good place with our walk with God. And then for some reason, things start falling apart. Again, we're going to talk about the three different seasons, but whether things start falling apart because of sin, unresolved, unrepentant sin in your life, whether it's because of doubt and the questions you have, whether it's because of busyness and just lacking the time to put God in his proper place, for some reason, there's a trigger that starts your spiral where you start to reject God and focus on the thoughts in your mind that say that you don't trust God, you don't want him to be Lord of your life, and you start to act in a way of disobedience. And because of this, this sparks more decisions that lead you further and further away from God, where you have these repetitive thought patterns, where you maybe focus on lies that you know about or lies that you believe about yourself. And as you go on, at first, it's a gradual change. So if we look at like the example of sin, and there is a sin in your life that you are just not deciding that, I'm going to do this. Sin could be maybe gossip. So you, at first, you're in a good place with your relationship with God. You have been trying to, watch some of the patterns that you have. but for some reason, something happens. Maybe somebody did something that just really, really bothered you. And so you start to make little decisions like, I'm going to get back at this person. I'm going to talk about them. Maybe you have something that you're maybe worried about or anxious about. Maybe you're, the lie you believe is, oh, I'm unloved. And so I need to make people love me and people give me attention if I gossip about them. And so then it becomes this spiral where you start to make small decisions, but it will add up into something very big. You start to talk about the person to other people in your friend group. And then it becomes something that you get this, like, you know, it's positive feedback, but for a negative purpose, where people might start noticing you, might get invited more places. And then all of a sudden, what was just one small decision, it starts circling and getting faster. And then you realize, oh, well, this works. So then you start making up other things to tell people. And then eventually you've become addicted to this gossip and you've started creating other issues for yourself, some division. And all of this is because you're spiraling out of control. It's this sin, shame spiral, this emotional spiraling in your mind too, because what you're doing is you're taking your thoughts and different things that you feel like you need. And you're saying, I have to do this thing, this sin, in order to be okay. Otherwise, if I stop doing it, I won't be okay anymore. I won't be loved. I won't have friends. And so you have spiraled down. Emotional spiraling, the term in psychology, it refers to like a term of catastrophic thinking, where you take some negative thoughts and you take them to their furthest extent. So, you know, if you say, okay, well, somebody looked at you wrong, maybe at church, or maybe somebody wasn't like super excited to see you. And instead of it being like, oh, well, they have a lot on their plate, you take it to the furthest extreme and say, well, they didn't greet me. And so because of that, they must hate me and I must be hated by the whole church, and so I should never go back. And I think a lot of us do this. And so we could see how we do emotional spiraling in our minds, but then that also can trigger us into getting into these seasons, these winter seasons that are not good for us, and they just lead to a life barren of good fruit for the kingdom. So our goal should be to break this emotional spiraling, break the sin shame spiral. We need to get out of our head, and we need to get out of the spiral, and we need to turn our focus back onto things that are productive for the kingdom of God. To do this, we need to develop some tools in our tool belt, some things that we can fall back on that help us to break this emotional spiral so that we can get out of it and start to lead more productive lives again. Jenny Allen, in her book, Get Out of Your Head, she has some great examples of ways that you can stop the negative thought patterns and that emotional spiraling that happens in your mind. But I think we can also look at things in our winter seasons that will help us to stop this emotional spiral. We want to give our brains just a way out, a way to focus on the good and the true and the beautiful, and not on the sin and the shame and the doubt and the busyness that we all of the time we just fall back on. That's kind of like our mode of living. So I think what's helpful with this, as we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we stop the spiral? We need to know two different things, and those things are triggers and glimmers. These again are terms that they use in, you know, psychology and different things like that. And I really think they're helpful because just like the picture of an emotional spiral or a downward spiral, we can all identify with that because we know that we've done that at some point, whether that was in our minds with our thoughts or if that was just an action that we were doing. I think with our triggers and our glimmers, we do the same thing. Like we can recognize these things very easily in our life, which is why I think it's such a positive thing to learn and know these terms. So triggers, this is something that, you know, some people might even make fun of the term because it's so popular, especially with the book Coddling of the American Mind. He talks a lot about, you know, basically we're trigger happy, but not trigger happy in the fact that we want to, you know, pull the trigger. We're trigger happy in the fact that everybody wants to say that they're triggered. Everybody wants to be the victim. But trigger, basically, it refers to these pain points in our lives that start the spiral down. They start us down a path we don't want to go on. And so, you know, for some people, these triggers, it's like they want to live offended. And I'm not arguing for that. What I think it's helpful to do is to look at things, not that trigger you to feel a certain way so that you try to control other people. I think it's important to recognize your triggers that lead you down this emotional spiral that leads you down this downward sin shame spiral. So basically, you can figure out some of the things that could be a cause for why you are choosing to act in a way that you know that you shouldn't. If you feel like, okay, well, one thing that you should do is you should use your money wisely. And for some reason, at the end of the month, you've always overspent and you don't know how to stop that. Well, look at some triggers. So maybe the trigger could be you spend way too much, or maybe the outcome could be that you spend way too much on going out to eat. Well, what you could do is you could look at the triggers that lead you to go out to eat. Now, I'm not saying going out to eat is a moral, you know, failure, but I'm saying sometimes that could be something that leads to us overspending, and overspending isn't good. It's not a wise way of living. And so you say, okay, well, the thing that triggers me to want to go out to eat all the time is that, you know, it's the end of the day, I don't want to cook anything, and it's just easier to do it this way. So what you've just done is you figured out the trigger for the behavior that you don't want. And so then all you have to do is change your environment. So you say, okay, well, I'm going to prep the food before, you know, on the weekend before I go to work, so that every night I can just throw it into the oven, or I'm going to do crock pot meals that are open and go whenever I get home. There's easy habits that you can work back into your life. So you can have these triggers that are behaviors. You can also look at the triggers that are things that maybe it's your perception. So if you know that you're triggered because maybe somebody doesn't like your Instagram post, well, then what you could do in that situation is you could either have like an affirmation for yourself, or like a Bible verse that you think of that says, you know, my value isn't based on other people. It's based on who I am in Christ. Or you can say, you know, if somebody maybe doesn't greet you right away, you say, okay, I'm going to be the person that greets them. And they probably will be happy to do that. So I think there's other ways that we can approach these triggers than just saying, oh, well, triggers are for, you know, people who are too weak, the snowflakes. I think it's important for us to recognize we're all triggered by something to act in a way that we shouldn't, because everybody has different sins that they're tempted by. Not everybody always is tempted in the same way, you know, whatever that is. Some people, they're never going to be tempted to gossip, or that's just not something that they, really appeals to them, but they may be tempted in other ways, maybe through pride or something like that. So it's important for us to recognize ourselves and ask ourselves honestly, what is causing me to go down this emotional spiral, the sin shame spiral, and how can I stop that? Then after you figure that out, the other thing that you can look at is your glimmers. Now, glimmers is like the opposite of a trigger. So a trigger is something that makes you act in a negative way or to have negative thought patterns. Well, a glimmer is this moment of joy. And what I like to think of it as is a life-giving moment. So the importance of this is if you recognize that you are going down a path that you don't want to go on, how could you stop yourself, turn around, and get on the right track? So again, in the example of gossiping, instead of saying, you know, like, oh, this happened, I want to tell somebody because I'm angry about it. Well, what could you do that could stop you in your tracks and make you turn around and choose the right decision? It could be maybe that you go and talk to a trusted friend about your own feelings, not what the other person did, but your own feelings, and trying to work through that, or maybe journaling about it, praying about it. It could be choosing to focus on something else. So every time your brain goes down to, you know, what that person did, you stop yourself and try to redirect your brain. There's different things you could do, but all of these things are tools in your tool belt. With the idea of glimmers, glimmers are supposed to be like if you are triggered and you're angry by something, you think of a glimmer to stop the anger. And so I think we could use this where basically if you know that something is going to spark this downward spiral, you stop yourself and you think about what could I do that would be life-giving and would stop the spiral that I know that I'm about to go on that I don't want to do. And we're going to talk about this later on. I think it is important to figure out what could be a glimmer in your day, because everybody's different. Just like everybody will have different triggers, different sins that they struggle with, different things that they struggle with. I think it's important to recognize what your glimmers could be. So again, if you feel like you are going through, maybe you're going through a time where you feel really sad, really depressed, just kind of listless. For some people, what you might need to do is something creative. Other people, you might need to listen to some music. Other people, you might want to go outside and take a walk. So making a list of things you can do to regroup and refocus your mind on Christ is really beneficial. And again, if you go to the show notes, you can download that winter survival guide. And there's a place where you can write down some ideas of your own personal glimmers, whether that's, you know, a coffee on the back deck or, you know, journaling, prayers, maybe specific, you know, affirmations or prayers or Bible verses that could work you through that. It's important for you to identify those things yourself, which requires you to think about it now while you're not upset so that you can fall back on those things whenever you are upset. It doesn't have to be something big, like a week-long cruise or something like that, though that would be nice, but it needs to be something that's easy. Easier is better because that way, you know, in the midst of your spiral, you can stop yourself and it's easy to get out of your spiral. So real quick, just take a moment to consider this. What causes you to feel worried, angry, upset? And as you're thinking about those things, make a list or write down on your list what emotions you're feeling in your body, what emotions you're feeling in your mind, like how you're holding yourself. This can just be helpful. So, because sometimes I think, you know, depending on the type, some people are very self-aware and they know exactly what they're feeling. But I know sometimes I've experienced pain or loss, and then it's came out in other ways where I might've been short with people. I might've been grumpy. I might've just been like, I'm just really tired this week and I don't know why. And really it's because I'm going through something, but I've like compartmentalized it. And so making a list of how you're feeling can be very helpful for trying to figure out what you should do in order to get out of it. It'll help you to connect the dots of what's going on in your mind and how that's affecting your body. The other thing that you can do is you can write down again your list of glimmers. So what makes you feel calm, peaceful, rejuvenated, hopeful? And you can list out these things and work them into your everyday life just to, again, refocus yourself on being calm, peaceful, and hopefully producing fruit, nourishing yourself. So if you want to break out of emotional spiraling, this is what you should do. You should, one, stop living in denial. So basically you need to assess your situation honestly. Again, you might not be in this situation now, but at some point in the future, you may experience one of these seasons, whether it's a season of busyness, doubt, or a season of sin. And what you need to do is you need to tell yourself, yes, I'm experiencing this winter season. And then you need to make a commitment to get back on track. If you know that you're in a season that you shouldn't be in, you want to say, hey, I'm committed to doing what I need to do so that I can get back to a good relationship with God. Then the second step is you need to determine where you're at. So are you in the spiral? Are you at the beginning of that season where you're starting to, you know, starting the slow fade? Or have you been kind of spiraling for a really long time and you are kind of lost and you just feel kind of hopeless and then you don't want to reach out to anybody because you're full of shame? Where are you at in this season? You need to assess your relationship with God and figure out, you know, when was the last time that you prayed? When was the last time that you read your Bible? When was the last time that you tried to pursue Him? This will kind of help you understand where you're at in that winter season. Then you need to start working on finding some glimmers in your season, some life-giving moments that can get you back on track. Again, some moments where you are bringing in truth to your life and resting in that truth. Some moments where you're taking your focus off yourself and serving others. Some moments where you're, you know, confessing and recommitting to being obedient. All of those things will help you in that situation. All of those things are glimmers because they're going to be life-giving and ultimately result in fruit for your life. Then after that, you need to safeguard yourself. So step number four would be to safeguard yourself against future winter seasons by recognizing in this current season what triggered you to get to that point. What happened at the beginning of this winter season where you said, you know, I'm going to choose to go down this path that I know I shouldn't go down because of X, Y, or Z. And so then that will help you in the future so that you don't get back into that position again. Finally, just make sure that you're praying, that you're journaling throughout the situation. Because a lot of times I think in our winter seasons, those are the times that where we really need to work out our relationship with God and just pray through that. But those are the times that are so hard. If we're wrestling with a sin, if we're wrestling with shame, with busyness, these things are going to really limit our willingness to go to God. And so I think that's why it's so important to pray and journal through that process. So I'm going to go ahead and cut off the episode for today. So we were going to go into the three different types of seasons that we cause ourselves. So looking at the seasons of sin and doubt and busyness, and we're going to do that in the next episode because we're already getting a little bit long and there's just so much to say about these different types of seasons. So let's review what we've talked about in this episode. So far, we have talked about how we need to recognize the seasons we create ourselves, that any time that we are pursuing something that's not God, an idol in our lives, we're going to end up in a winter season. And so we want to make sure that we don't pursue these things. One of the things that we need to do is we need to figure out what triggers us to start pursuing things that lead us away from God. So looking at different things that we do that show that we're going down that wrong path. And then we need to look at some glimmers in our life. So some things that we can point to that turn us back on the right track. Some of those life-giving things. Like I said, the next episode is going to go more in depth on these three seasons. And we're going to look at particular triggers and glimmers for each of these seasons. So you can comment below and let me know what you think about this. We have just a few more episodes in our winter series season, and then pretty soon it's going to be spring too. So if you're listening in real time, we're getting to that point where things are starting to heat up. We see that hope of spring on the horizon. And so it's one of those beautiful truths that also reflect how God works in our lives. A couple other things that you can do, make sure that you download the winter season survival guide. Anything that you've heard today about glimmers, or even there's a winter season bucket list that you can look at. So you can download that if you visit the link in the show notes and get that sent straight to your inbox. We also have a lot of resources on the shop that you can look at. So just visit morebeautifullifecollective.com/AMBL shop and you can find those resources there. So I hope you'll join us next week. Till then, keep creating a life you love and cultivating your heart for God. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.